الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، last time we discussed البيان الأول, the first kind of بيان in the Quran, which is, or the first way that the Quran clarifies everything for the people, first way, and that is the type in which, or in the, which is such that the text for it is in the Quran, and the details, the detailed explanation of it is also in the Quran. And there were some examples that we saw last time. So today we go to the second bayan, or the second type of clarification in the Quran, and that is the type for which. Okay, now here he splits the matter into two, because remember when he was giving the general overview, he gave four bayans. Now he's bayan, we don't mean, as I said, the bayan of the tablighi. So he gave four bayans. Here he's telling of five bayans. So he actually split two of them, one of them into two. And this, the second is actually in the overview, was part of the first. But here he is putting it as a separate one because of a specific difference, or a certain difference between it and the first type, which is that the text for it is in the Quran, and also the detail is in the Quran, but there is an additional detail in the Sunnah. Okay? There is an additional detail in the Sunnah. And then there will be the third type, as we saw before, where mention or the text for it is in the Quran, but the detail is in the Sunnah. There is no detail in the Quran. So this is the second. So it's halfway between the first and the third. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاطَّهَّرُوا. Which means, when you get up for prayer, wash your faces and your hands to the elbows. And rub water, yani, over your heads and your feet, which means wash your feet to the ankles. And if you are junub, then purify yourselves. وَقَالَ وَلَا جُنُوبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ. And he also said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what means, and nor as junub, which means do not approach the prayer, this is part of an ayah, nor approach it as in a state of janaba, unless you are travelers, abiri sabir, travelers or passers-by. So in that, yani if you are travelers, then you have the permission, because there is usually no water for the travelers to make wudu on those times. So they are allowed not to make ghusl, because it says إِلَّا عَبِرِ سَبِيلٍ حَتَّى تَبْتَسِلُ, unless you perform ghusl. But he gave permission to the travelers that they do not have to make ghusl, they can make tayammum instead. So they cannot pray still, I mean, it doesn't mean they can pray without wudu without ghusl and without anything, no, it means that you do not have to use water, because it's known that in your situation water is unavailable, but you can make tayammum. That's what it means. Allahu
Akbar. Somebody actually asked, so what about like a person is traveling in a plane, right? Suppose he slept.
Okay, in general, for any short while?
That's like 2 hours, you know, like taking a nap.
Oh, okay.
Get a red.
Okay.
He asked the question, hypothetical question.
He said short while, it looks like, you know, napping. Once, oh.
1 hour, 2 hour napping. You know,
that's like not short while. Yeah. 2 hours nap is long.
2 hours nap, right?
And then he came, you know, okay.
And he gets up. So what you should do in this circumstance? You should do that. No, don't jump it. Probably answer by Sheikh Hussain.
What did he say?
He says that you have to use the dust, you know, on the side of the plane, on the walls and all that, if you can find it.
No, on your seat in front of
you. If you cannot even do that, just pray in that condition. Try to make wudu and pray in the condition, Allah knows. And if you get to the place, you know, like,
no, but you can make tayammum. I mean, it's no problem. Even on a plane.
Even if you can, ask many questions. If you cannot even make tayammum,
it has to be dust.
Yeah.
It has to be dust.
But on a plane, it should be
sa'udan, sa'idan tayyiba, which means dust, clean, pure dust.
Tayammum is dust.
But we will sue them if you find dust.
فأتى كتاب الله على البيان في الوضوء. So the book of Allah gave the bayan, the clarification in regard to wudu. دون الاستنجاء بالحجارة, but it did not give information about making استنجاء, cleansing yourself by means of stones. وفي الغسل من الجنابة, and also in regard to ghusl when a person is junub. He did not give the detail. Or it said, وَلَا جُنُوبًا إِلَّا عَبِي السَّبِيلِ حَتَّى تَغْتَسِلُ, until you perform ghusl. But it did not give any detail in that regard. What you have there? Is there a footnote, long footnote?
That's for the Muslim.
Okay. I wonder why it's... Okay, when we get to it, you can help us with it, inshallah. ثُمَّ كَانَ أَقَلُّ غَسْلِ الْوَجِّهِ وَالْأَعْضَاءِ مَرَّةً مَرَّةً. And then the minimum that you can wash your face and your other parts, other limbs, is one time, because the ayah says wash your faces and your hands, etc. So it means one time each. That's the minimum. That's what you would understand as the minimum washing. وَاحْتَمَلَ مَا هُوَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْهَا, and it is possible that it would be more than one time. There is this possibility. So from the text of the Quran, you cannot tell how many times to wash. فَبَيَّنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ الْوُضُوءَ مَرَّةً مَرَّةً وَتَوَضَّأَ ثَلَاثًا وَدَلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ أَقَلَّ غَسْلِ الْأَعْضَاءِ يُجْزِئُ وَأَنَّ أَقَلَّ عَدَدِ الْغَسْلِ وَاحِدَةٌ وَإِذَا أَجْزَأَتْ وَاحِدَةٌ فَالثَّلَاثُ اخْتِيَارٌ. So he says, so the Prophet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified that wudu can be done by washing one time only. And he also performed wudu by washing three times each part, each limb. And this indicated that the least of washing for the limbs is suffices, which means the one time. And the least is one time each, one wash each. And when it is sufficient, or when it suffices, when one is suffices, that means that the three is an option. It's voluntary, it's not an obligation.
Okay. If you wash the face once, do you do everything once, or you can mix and match?
It's better to do it the same, or I mean, not, if you change the numbers, like for one part, for one hand you wash it two times, for the other hand you wash it three times, it doesn't validate the wudu. Still, you still have performed the minimum requirement plus some more. But it's better to do it the way that the Prophet ﷺ showed how to do it, which means if you do it three times for all, one time for all, two times for all. Allahu Akbar.
Friend here about the
What's referred to here?
Here it says about the
he made one time each, he's saying marrat tawda marrat marra, which means each limb he washed it only once. وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَ الْمَضْمَضَ وَالِاسْتِنْشَاقِ. And in that process he did the madmada, the rinsing the mouth and the inhaling of the water and expelling it together. He did it together because the wash is done. You know, now we wash, we can't even count sometimes how many times we wash, because we put our hand under the faucet, the tap of the water, and then we start washing back and forth, back and forth. We could have done it 50 times. So we did the minimum plus a lot more. In their case, the way they did it, as we have seen in this weekend's camp, where we are in some situation where you have only little water, so you take a cup of water in your hand and you wash, and then you cup in your hand another bit of water and you wash, and the same for the other, so you can count them easily. So he did one time, and in that case he took one cup only of water, he cupped one bit of water in his hand, and he did both his mouth and his nose together at the same time. And so he's mentioning this hadith.
Yeah.
And then he's mentioning the hadith of the two times and of the three times. Yeah. He's bringing a lot of details about wudu. I mean, it's not the subject of the discussion. We could do that. We have discussed it actually when we discussed wudu, but that's good. ودلت السنة على أنه يجزئ في الاستنجاء ثلاثة أحجار. So this is in regard to wudu, that the full detail is in the Quran, but the Sunnah came with some additional detail, which is the how many times, for example, and also for the mouth and the nose. Even though this he did not mention it, it was mentioned in that footnote, but that's also a detail that is not mentioned in the Quran. It is shown in the Sunnah and learned in the Sunnah that you, the mouth and the nose are part of the face. ودلت السنة على أنه يجزئ الاستنجاء ثلاثة أحجار. يجزئ في الاستنجاء ثلاثة أحجار. And the Sunnah indicated that it suffices for one to cleanse himself with three stones, which means if one doesn't have water and doesn't have anything else to cleanse himself with, like he's in the desert or in a place where they used to go to the khala, in the open where there's nothing except stones around them, so in that case three stones are sufficient to cleanse a person. This is indicated in the Sunnah, the text of the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَدَلَّ النَّبِيُّ. Does he mention that Hadith over there? Say it. What does it say? About the sinja.
There's one of them. There's one of them that mentioned that you cannot make
the sinja
present.
Okay, read it.
It says, "عن سليمان الفارسي قال."
سلمان
الفارسي قال. Okay.
Dahu. So the Jews told Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, like they were making fun or mocking of him, "Your Prophet taught you everything, even things related to toilet, yani there's like something, a waste to talk about." He said, "Yes, indeed, he told us everything, even that he told us that we should not turn our faces or our backs to the Qibla when we are defecating or urinating, be bowling or غائط, and he taught us to
do not wash ourselves with the right hand, and
do not wash with the right hand, and do not use bone or what else?
And not use less than three stones.
Yeah, the bones and the fossil
dung.
To cleanse yourself, and also not to use less than 3 stones for cleansing yourself.
But they also mentioned you can use any odd number,
3 or any odd. The hadith says do not use less than 3. Yes. So if 3 doesn't work, you can use 4. I mean, there's nothing wrong with using 4. Yeah. So he's saying that.
And he doesn't say the whole hadith,
but he just says. Yeah. What is it? That is sufficient to use 3 stones for istinja. And the Prophet ﷺ also indicated what are the things that require a person to perform wudu, which means what breaks wudu, in other words. وَمَا يَكُونُ مِنْهُ الْغُسْلُ And what things require ghusl, taking a bath. وَدَلَّ عَلَى So these are different things. He's mentioning different things that are told in the Sunnah as an extension to what is in the Quran. وَدَلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَالْمَرْفَقَيْنِ مِمَّا يُغْسَلِ And also, the Sunnah indicated that the Ka'bayn, which means this ankle, is part of what you wash, because the ayah says إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ To the ankles. So are the ankles included or not? The hadith says, "Wa al-aqabi min al-nar." Woe be to the ankles from the fire, which means there is a warning if you do not wash them. And al-marfaqain also, the elbows are part of the washing, as is shown in the hadith of Abu Huraira when he showed the wudu and he included his elbows. So this is part of the completion of the wudu. لأن الآية تحتمل أن يكونا حدين للغسل وأن يكونا داخلين للغسل because the ayah according to the ayah it's possible to understand that it means that those the ankles and the elbows are the limit or the border of where you wash which means you do not wash them or that they should be included in the washing so when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ويل الأعقاب من النار woe be to the heels or the ankles from the fire دل على أنه غسل لا مسح this indicated that it is washing and not rubbing now he jumped one step in his logic I mean he did not go consistently he jumped one step ahead because He should have said here, "Dalla ala annahu dakhira." This would have indicated that they are included in the ghusl. But he didn't say that. He said it indicated that this is washing and not rubbing. Whereas this is not what he was talking about before. So he meant to say, "Allahu alam," that they are included. Plus, there is an additional thing that is indicated because when he said this woe be to them from the fire means you have to wash them not only rub your hand over them so that it means washing because otherwise rubbing is an easy process and you know maybe he has in mind Allahu A'lam or he had in mind this is the hadith of the man who performed wudu and he had a little mark of dust on his feet that was not did not go away when he performed wudu so every time he told him to go back and perform wudu again and pray again so that also indicates that it's not enough to just say that I rubbed over them you have to make thorough washing of the feet Wallahu A'lam قال الله وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ فإن لم يكن له ولد وورثه أبوه فلأمه الثلث وفإن كان له إخوة فلأمه السدس He says now he went to another subject which is inheritance and the detail of this you'll find in my book on inheritance which is the final bequest he says Allah says that for his parents each one of them gets that's the one who dies his parents each one gets 1/6 of what he left if he has children and if he did not have children And his parents inherited him, which means they are alive to inherit him, of course. Then his mother gets the one third. Gets the one third. What does the father get in this case? He will not discuss it here. Maybe he'll discuss it later, Allahu A'lam. But as I showed in that book, you can refer to it there, that there is a difference among the ulama in this regard. Does the father get twice as much as the mother? Because the لذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين, a man gets twice as much as a woman, or does he get the same? The correct opinion, Allahu A'lam, is that in this case they get the same. And this is, if I remember correctly, this was the judgment of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the understanding from this ayah.
Is it the same if he has kids? The mother gets
sick,
and the father gets
sick. Yeah, that's what the ayah says.
Oh.
If he has kids, then the mother and the father each gets one sixth. And if he has brothers and sisters, ikhwa, siblings, then his mother gets the one sixth. So what do the siblings get in that case? الذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Yes.
طيب حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت
صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت ومالك لأبيك.
هل هذا اسم الميراث؟
No. No, that's during his life.
During Umar.
That you and your wealth is belongs to your father, which means if your father, it doesn't mean that you do not have any ownership and everything should be in the name of your father. Whatever you do, whatever you earn, all will be directly, automatically in the account of your father, and you have nothing to say about it. What it means is that if your father needs it, then he has the full right to take as much of it as he needs of your wealth, of your property, and you are not supposed to prevent him. بالمعروف يعني in a rightful and good way. Doesn't mean that if the father is unjust and he'll take the money to drink and gamble with it, then he's allowed to do that. No. But it means if the father is in need of like he's poor and his son has money, then he can go and take as much as he needs from that money to support himself.
What if the son
No, he's talking about the Muslim father. The Kafir father, the son has to be kind to him, but it doesn't reach to the point where he gives him everything. Allahu Akbar. وقال, and also Allah said, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِن لَّمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ. You get the half of what your wives leave if they do not have children. فإن كان لهن ولد فلكم ربع مما تركنا من بعد وصية يوصين بها أو دين. And if they had children, if they do have children, then you get one quarter of what they left, and that is after any bequests that they make or debts that they have to pay, which means after removing the wasiya, the bequest, and the or the will, the money that they have assigned to certain people, and the debts that they have to pay, after that whatever is left, you get one quarter of it. وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ إِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ. As for them, they get one quarter of what you leave if you do not have children. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ. And if you do have children, then they get one eighth of what you leave. من بعد وصية توصون بها أو دين. And that's also after whatever is in your will, whatever you bequeath, or whatever debts you have to pay. وإن كان رجل يورث كلالة أو امرأة. And if there is a man who is inherited كلالة. Kalalata means in a situation where he does not have children, أو امرأة, or a woman, which in that situation that she does, and she has no children and no children and no parents. So it's only the siblings, brothers and sisters, and like that. وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ, and he has a brother or sister. فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ, then in that case each one of them gets 1/6 of the inheritance. If it is a brother or a sister, if he has a brother or a sister, or she has a brother or a sister, then this brother or sister gets 1/6. If there are two of them, that is a brother and a sister, or two brothers or two sisters, then each one of them takes 1/6. So that means 2/6 or 1/3. Now what if they were more than that, like 3? فَإِنْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, if they were more than that, فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ, then they will be partners in the 1/3. So they still take 1/3, but they'll be dividing it among each of them equally, not the man twice the woman, equally. من بعد وصية يوصى بها أو دين, and that is the same thing after a wasiyah, after paying the debts. غير مضار, without causing harm, which means the wasiyah should not be made, or the dain, the debt, in such a way as to cause harm to the inheritors. وصية من الله والله عليم الحليم, this is a command from Allah, and Allah is all knowing and patient. Now here, as I explained in the book Final Bequest, that this ayah is referring not to the brothers and sisters in general, but to the brothers and sisters from the mother, because there is another ayah which talks about the brothers and sisters from the father, who are supposed, according to the Shara, closer to the person. Your siblings from your father are closer than your siblings from your mother. Okay, in Shara, because they are from the same, their relationship to you is stronger. The paternal relationship is stronger than the maternal. Like your father. If your siblings are from the same father and mother, then they are from the father. So if they are from the father, or from the father and the same father and mother, they are from the father still. But if they are only from the mother, like your mother got them from a different man than your father, then this ayah applies to them in this case. Allahu Akbar. And as I said, I mean, the details, you have to find it from that book, because, you know, even for me, some of it would escape my mind after a while, because I worked on this like almost, 2 years ago? Allahu Akbar. So he's saying, فَاسْتُغْنِيَ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ فِي هَذَا عَنْ خَبَرِ غَيْرِهِ. So in these two ayat he's saying, he means, the tanzeel, the revelation, is sufficient, suffices, from any other information. So we do not need any additional information to tell us how to divide this kind of inheritance. ثُمَّ كَانَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ شَرْطٍ, and then Allah has a condition here. أَنْ يَكُونَ بَعْدَ الْوَصِيَّةِ وَالدَّيْنِ, that this should be, this division should be after paying any bequeathal and any debts. فدل الخبر على أن لا يجوز بالوصية أن لا يجاوز أو يجاوز بالوصية الثلث. So it is actually the news, which means, he means by news here, or khabar, the hadith, the information from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, indicated that one may not exceed 1/3 in his bequeathal. Okay, so here all it says is wasiyah, bequeathal. Now what is the limit of the bequeathal? It cannot be more than 1/3 of the overall property of the person. So he's saying that all the detail came in these ayat, but the sunnah is what indicated that, explained in the, something in regard to them, which is in regard to the wasiyah. So it gave additional detail about some particulars of these ayat.
Is that why he separated?
I don't know, because they are two different ayat.
Two different.
Oh, was it 91?
No, 90 and 91, because 91 is explaining the area.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the end he said it's part of the whole. Is that why he separated them?
No, the one who separated them, I think, is Ahmad Shakir. He's the one who put these numbers, just to divide the book into paragraphs or separate ideas.
So
I don't think so. No. You know, the books of the old ulama used to be one sentence from the beginning to the end of the book. So I don't know if you saw any of the old Arabic books. They sent me a very old edition of it. What is it called? About Abu Dawood, I forgot.
That's Europa. It's like one.
No, it's old printing. It's not handwritten, but but it's no commas, no periods.
Nothing.
From beginning to end, you have to figure out where the sentence ends, where it starts, where it ends, and so on. And you know, there used to be, in this regard, there used to be, we used to have an old edition of the book Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And on the border of it, there's another book, which is Dar'u Ta'arud al-Aqli wal-Naql.
In the border.
On the border, yeah. So they used to include, give you a bonus, like another book. Yeah, this was very common early this century, you know, and maybe in the past century, when the the 20th century, and maybe part of the 19th century, that you get a book here and another book on the border. You know, like some of the books of tafsir now, you see the book, the Quran in the middle, the tafsir around, and in the footnote there is also asbab al-nuzul, the causes for the revelation. So these are like three books in one: Quran, Tafsir, and Asbab al-Nuzul. So in the past they used to do things, many books like this, where the text is in the middle and another book here, and maybe sometimes a third book in the footnotes, in the place of the footnotes. So we had this Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah in the middle, and around it Dar'u Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql, which means that the proof that there is no contradiction between al-Aql, the intellect, wal-Naql, and the reports in the Sunnah, that there is no contradiction, as some of the claims are of the Mu'tazila and people like them. So I remember I was, you know, I had some discussion with some Habashis who wanted to prove to me that Ibn Taymiyyah was kafir. And, you know, he's like their main enemy, and that's the only thing they always came and visited me with new proofs that he's kafir. So they took the book. Usually they don't like to read books except their own books, because they're afraid to be lost or to be, you know, poisoned by them. Anyways, they took the book from my shelf, Minhaj Sunnah Nabawiyyah, and they opened it, and they checked some parts, either from Minhaj Sunnah Nabawiyyah or the Ta'ala al-Aql wal-Naql, I don't remember, and they said, see, he's saying things which show that he's kafir. And I said, so they just took like a part of the book, which is as I was describing. There are no periods, no colons, no semicolons, no opens parentheses, close parentheses, nothing like that. So I said, okay, I read it. I mean, it's a sentence that seemed weird, but I said, you have to read from the beginning of the idea, not the text, because you have to go to the beginning of the book then. But at least you have to go back a little bit to see what he's talking about. And if you go back a little bit, you realize that he's refuting some people, and he's stating what they say, and then he refutes what they say. So they take just something from his book and say he's saying this, and therefore he's careful. Yeah. Yeah, because that's how, yeah, it's very common in Ibn Taymiyyah's books, that he presents the exact statements of some people and then he starts responding to them. So they take that and they say he's saying this. Yeah, they had this also from Dar'u Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql. They brought me some better edition than the one I had on the border, and they showed me, look, Ibn Taymiyyah, they said, what do you say about a person who says that Allah has limits, had, like beginning and end, and width and breadth and so on? I said, this is kufr. They said, Ibn Taymiyyah says this. I said, okay, let's see, where does he say that? So they showed me, they brought me photocopies of 20 pages from one of the books, from this Darat al Akhl wa Naqd by Ibn Taymiyyah. They said, see, that's what he says. So I read the text where they are referring to that Allah made istiwa on the throne with had. And, you know, there's more discussion and so on. I read it, and I read a little before, a little after it. I said, what is clear from the text is that he's saying Allah made istiwa on the throne in reality. Had means a reality. So had here means reality. Like you say, give me a had of a certain thing means definition. So give me the definition means what is the correct understanding of this. There is correct understanding, what is it? So had means reality. I said this is what's obvious from the flow of the word, of the words. And they had like 15-20 pages. So I said that's what it appears to me. They said, no, you are just being stubborn. Get the books of language. Which one says that had means this? I said, we didn't have, at that time I did not have any dictionaries, Arabic dictionaries or anything. After they left, you know, they were very angry. They said, I'm stubborn and so on. So I went to my copy of Ta'arud al-Aql wa-Naql, and I went through it, you know, carefully until I found the same text which they referred to. And I found that this was not the saying of Ibn Taymiyyah. It was something said by one of the Imams of Sunnah, much before him, Abu Sa'id al-Darimi. He has Musnad al-Darimi. So one of the old scholars al-Darimi. He said, and Abu Sa'id al-Darimi said, and he brought a long quotation from him, including that Allah made istiwa on the throne with had. And just before that quotation started, there was another quotation by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that his son asked him, oh my father, did Allah made istiwa on the throne, was that with had? And he said, yes my son, with had. So they did not bring, of course, this part from Imam Ahmad, because they cannot dare, you know, they would not dare to say anything against Imam Ahmad. But they cut that, and they cut the beginning which says Abu Sa'id al-Darimi said whatever after that, and then they just brought the text, and the bottom of the page it says the name of the book. So they said, see, this is Ibn Taymiyyah, he's saying this, and therefore he's cut. So yeah, this is very easy, I mean, to misunderstand some of the old books if that used to appear without all these punctuations and things like that. And I don't think it's possible at all that Imam Shafi'i put the numbering of the paragraphs, no. Even dots, maybe at this time there were no dots. Yeah. They were put after, maybe, Allahu Alam. No, maybe a little before him. Now this is the second bayan. Okay, now the third bayan. قال الله تبارك وتعالى. And the third bayan is that whose text in the Quran, but it's detailed in the Sunnah. Now what we saw is the one which is full detail in the Quran. No need for the Sunnah to explain it further. And then that which has the text and the detail in the Quran, but the Sunnah brings some additional detail. And here, the part that the full the text only in the Quran, the main text, and then all of the detail is in the Sunnah. So he says, the bayan al-thalith, the third kind of bayan. قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. Allah Ta'ala says that indeed the prayer is upon the believer and a timed record or has time terms. وقال وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة, and establish the prayer and give zakah. وقال وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله, and complete Hajj and Umrah to Allah. ثم بينا. So these are the texts, but they did not include any details how to perform the prayer, what are the times of the prayer. We say there are times, but what are the times? And when is the beginning, when is the end of each time? How to establish the prayer, how to give the zakah, on which kinds? وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ اللَّهِ. Complete Hajj and Umrah to Allah. How do you perform Hajj and Umrah? All of this is not in the Quran. ثم بين على لسان رسوله عدد ما فرض من الصلوات ومواقيتها وسننها. Then he clarified upon the tongue of his messenger the number of what he has ordained of the prayers and their times and their sunan, which means the voluntary deeds pertaining to the prayers. وعدد الزكاة, and the number of or the amount of the zakah, ومواقيتها, and what time you give it. وكيف عمل الحج, and how to perform the deeds of Hajj, والعمرة and Umrah. وحيث يزول هذا ويثبت وتختلف سننه وتأتفق. وحيث يزول هذا ويثبت, which means, and where does this become invalid or not required, and when it becomes obligatory. Like for example, one is Hajj an obligation and one it is not an obligation, and similarly for zakah, and similarly for other deeds. وَتَخْتَلِفُ سُنَنُهُ وَتَأْتَفِقُ, and one it's sunnas, which means the voluntary parts of these acts of worship differ, and one they agree, which means what is different among them and what is common and so on. He says here, تأتفق فعل مضارع لم تدغم فيه فعل افتعال بل قلبت حرف العين. فهو يقولون ايتفق يأتفق فهو مؤتفق, ولغة غيرهم الإدغام فيقولون اتفق يتفق فهو متفق. والشافعي يكتب ويتحدث بلغته لغة أهل الحجاز, وفي جميع النسخ المطبوعة وتتفق وهو مخالف للأصل. يعني تأتفق is saying that is a form of the verb تتفق, that's more commonly known in Arabic now. We say تتفق, agree. Differ when the sunan differ and when they agree. So تأتفق means agree. تأتفق or تتفق. ولهذا أشباههم كثيرة في القرآن والسنة, and there are many other similar things like these in the Quran and Sunnah, which means things where the main text is in the Quran and the explanation comes in the Sunnah. قال الشافعي كل ما سنة. This is now the fourth bayan. We finished with the third bayan. Okay. البيان الرابع هو ما كان نصه وتفصيله في السنة. The fourth bayan is that where the text as well as the details come in the Sunnah. So there is no mention for it in the Quran. It only comes in the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الشافعي كل ما سن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مما ليس فيه كتاب وفيما كتبنا في كتابنا هذا من ذكر ما من الله به على العباد من تعلم الكتاب والحكمة دليل على أن الحكمة سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's saying everything that رسول الله decreed of what there is no text in it, which means from the Quran, there is no Quranic text in it. وَفِيمَا كَتَبْنَا فِي كِتَابِنَا هَذَا, and as we have written in this book of ours, مِنْ ذِكْرِ مَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهَا الْعِبَادِ, of mentioning how Allah has shown or given, granted favors to His servants, مِنْ تَعَلُّمِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, in regard to learning the book and the hikmah, the wisdom, دليل, يعني in all of this there is evidence, دليل على أن الحكمة سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is the sunnah of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Is it clear? Okay. كل ما سن رسول الله ما ليس فيه كتاب وفيما كتبنا في كتابنا هذا. يعني he's using more than one thing. First, the thing that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم decreed that are not in the Quran is an indication or proof that the hikmah is sunnah Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also, as we mentioned before, that Allah has shown His favors to the people, or has expressed that He has favored them by learning the book and the hikmah. That also is an indication that the hikmah is nothing but the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He will talk about this later on in this book in more detail. مع ما ذكرنا مما افترض الله على خلقه. يعني he mentioned the hikmah very briefly before in this book, not much. He will be mentioning it more later on to prove more that it is the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مع ما ذكرنا مما افترض الله على خلقه من طاعة رسوله. In addition to what we have mentioned, does he say in the footnotes in your book where فيما كتبنا في كتابنا هذا, where the reference is, which page? Yeah, I should refer you. That would be easier for us to, instead of digging through the book and looking around. But anyways, we saw it before briefly. We'll be seeing it more in about 10 pages or so in more detail. Can we shift? No, about hikmah in specific. He mentioned it. وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He mentioned that, and also as I said, he'll be talking about it in much more detail later, so we'd not have to spend much time here on it. دليل على أن الحكمة سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, we still got about 10 minutes. مع ما ذكرنا, in addition to what we have mentioned, مما افترض الله على خلقه من طاعة رسوله, that Allah has made an obligation upon His creation to obey His messenger. وبين من موضعه الذي وضعه الله به من دينه. And He explained some of the position. من موضعه means some of His position, which means Allah did not necessarily tell us all of the status of the Prophet ﷺ, some of the status that Allah has put him or placed him in regard to his deen, which means the great status that Allah has placed his messenger ﷺ in regard to his deen. So all of this الدليل على أن البيان في الفرائد المنصوصة في كتاب الله من أحد هذه الوجوه. All of this is an indication or a proof that that the bayan or the clarification in regard to the obligations that have the text in the book of Allah is one of these forms, and he'll mention the forms. Now this is just a review of what we already have covered so far, right? He'll be giving you a review. مِنْهَا مَا أَتَى الْكِتَابُ عَلَى غَايَةِ الْبَيَانِ فِيهِ فَلَمْ يَحْتَجْ بَعَدْ تَنْزِيلِ فِيهِ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. The first type, which is the first bayan that we covered already, that which the book, which means the Quran, has given the full clarification for it, so that there would be no need, in addition to the revelation, which means the Quran, the Tanzil means the revelation of the Quran, in its regards, there is no need to anything else. So the first type. وَمِنْهَا مَا أَتَى عَلَى غَايَةِ الْبَيَانِ فِي فَرْدِهِ. And the second type is that which it gave full clarification in regard to its obligation, which means the Quran. وَافْتَرَضَ طَاعَةَ رَسُولِهِ. And also Allah made it an obligation to obey His Messenger. فَبَيَّنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ فَرْضُهُ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified from Allah, which means by the knowledge that Allah gave him, كَيْفَ فَرْضُهُ, how this obligation, which means the additional details needed for it, وَعَلَى مَنْ فَرْضُهُ, and for whom it is an obligation, وَمَتَى يَزُولُ بَعْضُهُ وَيَثْبُتُ وَيَجِبُ, and in what situation some of it becomes ceases to hold or becomes not required, and sometimes becomes ثابت, which means fixed or required, ويجب and obligatory. This is what we mentioned as the second form of bayan, which is what we started discussing today. ومنها ما بينه عن سنة نبيه بلا نص كتاب. No, this number, the one that we just mentioned, is the combination of the two, 2 and 3 that we talked about today. Now, number four, which is the one that he's discussing now, ومنها ما بينه عن سنة نبيه بلا نص كتاب. And the fourth منها, among them, or the one of them, is that which he, which means Allah, clarified from the Sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the Sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without a text in the book. So there is no text for it in the book. وكل شيء منها بيان في كتاب الله. كل شيء منها بيان في كتاب الله. قال الشافعي فليس المراد أن كل شيء في السنة بيان في كتاب الله أو أن له بيان في كتاب الله، بل المراد أن كل شيء من السنة إنما هو بيان لشرع الله في كتابه، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو المبين عن ربه والمأمور بإقامة دينه، كما قال تعالى تبين للناس ما نزل إليهم، فما ورد في السنة الصحيحة وجب الأخذ به والطاعة له وإن لم يرد في القرآن. يقول الله تعالى وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. So what he's saying, and all of it, وكل شيء منها بيان. All of it, which means all of this kind, which is this in the Sunnah, is a bayan, is considered bayan. في كتاب الله, according to the book of Allah. Because Allah says, whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. أطيع الله وأطيع الرسول, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. So since Allah in His book says obey the Messenger, and the Sunnah comes with certain things, certain obligations, then this is part of the bayan of the Quran. That's what he's saying. كل شيء منها بيان كما وكل شيء منها, everything from it or in it in the Sunnah is a bayan, is a clarification, which means clarification of the obligations of the Quran في كتاب الله, as is in the book of Allah.
What is the woman who are laying on the Sunnah to Nabiya with a nas, with a nas kitab, with a nas kitab?
Right, بدون ما يكون في إلا نص بالقرآن. Yeah.
ومن بينه
الله عز وجل.
ومنها ما بينه
عن سنة أي نعم.
عن سنة نبيه.
أيوة.
كيف بين الله عز وجل عن سنة نبيه بدون نص كتاب؟
بينه عن السنة, يعني في السنة هيك مقصود, يعني ومنها ما بينه في سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم, بينه عنها يعني منها, هنا تأتي بنفس المعنى
بينه منه,
يعني أو فيها, بينه في السنة, في سنة نبيه بلا نص كتاب. وكل شيء منها بيان في كتاب الله, and all of it, all of the sunnah is بيان, as in the book of Allah. فكل من قبل عن الله فرائده في كتابه قبل عن رسول الله سننه بفرض الله طاعة رسوله على خلقه وأن ينتهي إلى حكمه. So whoever accepts from Allah his obligations in his book, just like 3 minutes and we'll be finished inshallah, I know, I mean, it's hard sometimes to follow what he's saying, but if you keep the overlying ideas, understand them, then inshallah these are all details that and examples. And in the meantime, in the process, he mentioned some very important statements that we need to try to remember or at least understand. So he says, like what's following here, everything, so whoever accepts from Allah his obligations in his book, then he would قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سُنَنًا, he would accept the sunan, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِفَرْدِ اللَّهِ طَاعَةَ رَسُولِهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ, because Allah ordained or made an obligation to follow his messenger, made an obligation on his creation to follow his messenger, وَأَيَّنْتَهُ إِلَىٰ حُكْمِهِ, and that they should submit to his judgment and his commands. وَمَنْ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَعَنِ اللَّهِ قَبِلْ, and whoever accepts something from Rasulullah, then he's actually accepting it from Allah. لِمَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ, because of what Allah has ordained or made an obligation that we have to obey him, to obey the messengers of Allah. So this is a very important thing, and you find sometimes people quoting Shafi'i for this statement, especially the last part in it. وَمَنْ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَعَنِ اللَّهِ قَبِلْ لِمَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ. So it's very important, even though it just repeats what's in the Quran, but you know, it shows that the ulama of the Salaf, they had a clear understanding of this and they had no compromise in its regard. فَيَجْمَعُ الْقَبُولُ لِمَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَلِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ الْقَبُولُ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَنِ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ تَفَرَّقَتْ فُرُوعُ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي قُبِلَ بِهَا عَنْهُمَا كَمَا أَحَلَّ وَحَرَّمَ وَفَرَضَ وَحَدَّ بأسباب متفرقة كما شاء جل ثناؤه لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. So he says, and this is the end of, and we stop here inshallah, because this is the end of the fourth bayan. He says, so what comprises or brings together what is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we accepting both of them to be as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the reasons, the branching reasons for accepting either one of them would be different. Like, which means, like, he would make permissible or prohibited, something permissible or prohibited, or this is an obligation, this is a had, which means in this case had means punishment, by different, for different reasons, which means sometimes it comes in the Quran, sometimes it comes in the Sunnah, sometimes it comes for one reason, sometimes for a different reason, for a different occasion. كَمَا شَاءَ, as Allah wills, جَلَّ ثَنَاءُ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى, or جَلَّ ثَنَاءُ, may His praise be glorified. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَمْ يُسْأَلُونَ, He cannot be questioned about what He does, even though they, the people, creation, are asked or questionable. So, or liable to being asked. So, how did it stop? How did I hit it? It stopped by itself.
Stopped by itself?
No, it was clicked. So I was turned off.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. Maybe it got squished here. So what you were saying is that what, I have to repeat this for the last sentence, that what combines the acceptance of what is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we accept each one of them to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the reasons or the branches of the reasons for accepting either of them could be different, like what he makes permissible, what he makes prohibited, and what is a fard, an obligation, what is a had, a punishment, by for different reasons. As he wills, may his jalla thana'uh, may his praise be glorified. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun, he cannot be questioned about what he does, even though they are liable for question. So that's the fourth bayan, and as I said, this is only telling us that we have to submit fully to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and any obligation in it is like it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
Just a quick question. There are actually certain hadith which we call hadith, right?
It's a different subject, but basically what the ulama say is that Hadith al-Qudsi is the meaning is from Allah, and the saying or the statement is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The statement was said, but this is like he's explaining what Allah was
Yeah, the Quran is the exact text or words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any change, and it is majiz. It has the majiz, whereas the Hadith Qudsi is not miraculous like the Quran. Allahu a'lam.
Khalas, kafiya.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hadith
Qudsi
has the
majiz
of higher
weight. Hadith has what? Higher weight?
The higher weight than the highest weight in other
Hadith Qudsi?
Yeah.
Well, it has only the respect of being said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of hadith principles, it's the same as the hadith.
It's the same principle of life, right?
Yeah. It has da'if, it has mawdu'a, it's the same thing. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. So next time there will be a more detailed discussion of the fifth bayan, which is the ijtihad and